You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. It is Friday, and that is always a wonderful thing. I hope that you have plans to be in the house of the Lord and to worship Him this coming Sunday. And if you don't have a church home, we would be thrilled if you would consider visiting us at Merritt Assembly of God. We're excited about what God is doing. And we've got some new things that are going to be taking place here in the days ahead, anniversaries to celebrate and things like that. And tomorrow's a very special day for someone, so I'll say happy birthday a day in advance. And anyway, if you don't have a church home, we're located at 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. We're two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney. And we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. We exist to be a blessing, to be a blessing to God, to be a blessing to our family, to be a blessing to our church, and to be a blessing to the community. And on the 31st of May, it's one of our fifth Sunday celebrations, we'll be having a meal following our morning service, and really would be excited to meet you. If you chose to worship with us, hopefully if you do, you'll stick around long enough for me to introduce myself and get to know you. And as always, we would be praying for God to strategically place you throughout Brevard County for kingdom impact and the ability for you to thrive in your relationship with God. Today, we're going to be in Luke chapter 6. We're going to resume where we were there. I'm going to start reading in verse number 27. And some things I'm going to go back and touch on just a little bit, and then we'll move forward. We're looking at a life of love, and that is not just an emotion. It's not just a decision. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that impacts how we walk in covenant with God and how we walk in covenant with our family. And it also involves how we deal with other people in society. So Luke 6, 27 says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also, and from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back, but love your enemies, do good, and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful." So just real quick, I want to go back and look at verse number 28. And it says, because we are to love our enemies, it says, bless those who curse you. And one of the things that means is that people who desire misfortune for you, you still operate in a way that is going to be considered a life blessing. So you speak well to them. And like I say, the initial blessing in a person's life is not financial. It's not relational. It is a gift of repentance that comes from God. That's the initial blessing. That results in a relationship with Him whose influence and impact is going to touch every area of our life, not just what we do on Sunday morning. So you want to see positive, godly results in their life. That's what we are supposed to do to those who don't want good things to happen for us. But in the second part of verse number 28, Jesus says, because of the way that we love, that sometimes that love is going to manifest in an attitude of praying for those who spitefully use us. And that means that what they are looking for is they are either threatening us or mistreating us. I will tell you this. Nobody likes to be mistreated. No one likes to be threatened. But we are supposed to pray for those who spitefully use us. We are supposed to use things to love people. We are not supposed to love things and use people. That's the operating system of the world. People are tools to help you achieve the accumulation of things, and that's backwards. In the kingdom of God, it is not things that are highly valued, it is people. And, you know, there's a passage, I believe it's in the book of Amos, that says, multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. And we want to see people make the right decision and make the right choices. And so, and if we find someone who is spitefully using us, mistreating us, threatening us, we pray for them, because God holds the key to every person's heart. He knows exactly how to change a person's heart. The Holy Spirit moves in both parts of an equation. So if we are moved to share the gospel, the Holy Spirit is also going to move in the heart of the person that we're ministering to. Maybe it is just so that they are receptive to a seed of the gospel. Maybe it's the Holy Spirit will have them be available for a conversation. Sometimes it's going to be that others have done all of that and you come along and God uses you, and then there's a radical transformation in a person's life. So the reason I wanted to go back and tell you this is we often talk about prayer and the believer, and that is very important. It is part of our privilege. It is part of our responsibility. But it is also something that we do because we love people. So I want to throw this out to you today, and that is, if you are a believer and you are looking for God to elevate your love, that is not going to be a love that is prayerless. It is going to be a love that is filled with prayer, knowing that God loves that person and died on the cross for them just as much as He loved me, loved you, and died on the cross for us. So maybe today we could just start off by saying, God, would you work in my life so that I pray as a result of the love that we have one for another. So just a thought. So let's drop down to verse number 30. And it says, give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. So a life of love is not about withholding things. It is about a life of generosity. It is about a life of giving. And, you know, it's not what Jesus says here is you don't give to get in return. You realize that it's more blessed to give than to receive, but because you have received, you are also blessed to be able to give. So here a few weeks ago, I'd gone out to see my dad there. I'd planned a trip out there, and it was a very, very important trip, and there was a lot of work. I also had to go by my wife's family's property, had to drive a moving truck and all of that sort of stuff. So I stopped back and spent some time with Danny Duvall, our evangelist that was here back in the month of March. In fact, I believe he was there 2 weeks ago today, or 2 months ago today. And he was talking about this person, and this guy was older than I was, probably by about 20 years. And Danny knows his son, but he also remembered some of the things that he said. And he said, do you remember this person? I said, yeah, he preached a revival back in when I was in a teenager in school. And the reason that I can put that timeline is because there was an opportunity to be generous, but I didn't have the financial resource to be able to give what I would have liked to have been able to given. And I can tell you now that that amount of money, you spend more at McDonald's to go and take your family out to a fast food experience. You spend more there than what that was there. When I tell you I came from not a golden spoon family, not a silver spoon family, not a zinc spoon family, I came from a wooden spoon type family, financial background. That's what I mean. So I didn't even have $20 to be able to sew at that point in time. And remember, back in those days, you know, minimum wage was under $2 an hour. So I was a teenager. I was still in high school. I was working 20 hours a week plus going to school. There just wasn't a lot of money to be able to give. But whenever I think about that person, I think about that opportunity to be generous that I didn't have the resource to be able. Now, I can tell you since then, there has been a whole lot of generosity on our part because there's been other opportunities. And so you and I need to realize generosity begins with an attitude of love. If we see a need, we have the opportunity to meet that need. And too many times, I think we just turn a blinded eye. And I would encourage you to say, God, would you work in my heart so that I can have opportunities to be generous? That's one of the things that we like to do at Merit Assembly of God. We are passionate about world missions, and we have a smaller congregation, but we have a generous congregation. So we had a board meeting here a couple of weeks ago, and we were celebrating what God did at Easter, because we had people that were saved. We had people who, you know, came to a special event, and there were it was probably our, well, it wasn't probably, we went back and looked, and it was the best attended service we had had since before COVID happened. And we're celebrating that, not just the numbers, but heaven rejoices whenever a person makes a decision for Jesus Christ to be their Lord and Savior. And that's what we're ultimately rejoicing about. So sometimes in this world where everybody is about mine, 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 you never have to teach a child to say mine. They pick that up on their own. And unless Jesus comes in and changes a person's heart, they will continue to be self-absorbed, self-centered, self-focused, and selfish in nature, all of which is contrary to a life of love and a life of generosity. The word metamorphosis talks about when creatures like a caterpillar becomes a butterfly, and we get focused on the appearance is different, the mode of transportation is different. One is crawling and helpless, and the other one has the ability to fly and blend in with its surroundings. But it's not only that. It's not only the physical appearance changes, but the nature changes. And that caterpillar, when it's in the caterpillar stage, it is all about eating and consuming. But when it becomes a butterfly, it is all about spreading life. It is about propagating the furtherance of that creature's life opportunities. So it's sowing seeds, not concerned with what it's going to be able to eat, but making sure that there is a continuation, that it becomes a life giver instead of a self consumer. So I hope that the church across Brevard County becomes a changed entity, so that it's not just about me, 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 I, but it's about we're going to be a life-giving in group of believers. Okay? Talks about that in 1 Corinthians. It's a fantastic way to live. So we are called to verse number 31 here. It says, "And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise." It used to be well known that this was described as the golden rule, that you do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Then there was a person that changed it in a humorous way, and it became he who has the gold rules. That's the world's version of the golden rule. And then there is another version that says, do unto others as they have done unto you. And then there's the version that says, do unto others before they do unto you. But Christ instructions emanate out of a foundation of love, a love for people and for them to want to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So he says, it's not because you have more money than they do that you treat them better than, you look it down your nose at them. You don't do that. You don't do unto them as they have done unto you. You don't do unto them before they do unto you. You do unto them the way that you would like for yourself to be treated. The Bible describes that however we forgive others is the way we're going to be forgiven. However, whatever measure we use, that will be the measure that is used against us. So I worked in a grocery store many, many decades ago. Wasn't here in Florida. It's not a national chain. Back when I was back there, I'm not even sure that there's many of them that still exist of that particular store chain. But shelving space really wasn't as micromanaged as it is now, not as computer analyzed. And so you could go and buy a bag of potato chips, and it would be about, you know, if you were buying the family size pack, it would be about a foot tall. It would be probably 4 inches thick. It would be a probably, it might have even been more than a foot tall. And it'd be 8 to 10 inches wide. It was a large bag. And when you opened it up, you would look inside and say, well, why did they put this in such a big bag? Because there would only be about half a bag of contents. And on the packaging, it had this statement. It said, product is sold by weight, not by volume. And so there was, because they're potato chips, they're, you know, this was back around the time that Pringles came out and they started putting theirs in cylinders instead of bags. But you could get a lot more in that. Well, Jesus talks about that the way that we treat others, it'll be given unto us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. So we need to be careful in how we live out this life of love, because our capacity to receive is dependent upon the way that we give, the measure that we give. And so if we live an unforgiving life, then we can expect an unforgiven status in our own situation. It's not because God doesn't want us to forgive, but it's the standard. And many people demand grace for themselves and judgment for everyone else other than themselves or their family members. So we need to love one another. And I will tell you this, whenever we do unto others as you want people to do to you, you've got to remember that God will not be a debtor to any person. Any seed that we sow is not going to go unnoticed. It may not come back in the same nature. You might give of your time and you may get a blessing that is different than time. You may give finances, but you may receive a blessing of a different category. But I can tell you, God will not be a debtor to any person. And whenever we live a life of love, we can live expecting to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. I tell this story when my wife was pregnant with our first child. I had not paid any attention to how many pregnant women there were. I happened to work in a mall. And all of a sudden, my wife is pregnant, and I suddenly started noticing there were pregnant women all over the place. I had a car that I bought one time. I only knew of one other person that drove that car, or drove that model of car, and all of a sudden I had one, and then I started seeing them all over the road. So on my recent trip to see my dad, I drove a brand of vehicle I'd never driven before and saw recently that brand, and I didn't even know what model I was driving. It wasn't until I started unloading the vehicle. It's like, oh, there's the name of the vehicle. I was pretty impressed with the brand of car. Had never even considered looking at one. And then all of a sudden, because of that, I start seeing that brand of vehicle all around me. So I can tell you this, that if we will do unto others as we would want to be treated ourselves, we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And here's the thing. Even if people do not respond the way that they should, your heart and your actions will cause you to receive a reward from the Most High God. We're not trying to get people's attention. We're living a life that gets God's attention. And He's paying attention. So on my trip, I was spending the night at someone's house. We were sitting there having a conversation, and all of a sudden a phone rang, and one of the people that I was having a conversation got up and immediately responded to the phone, because the ringtone said, that's a person that is related to me, and I'm going to immediately answer their call. And as I reflected on that, it's like, that's the way that God responds to us. If you're a parent of adult children, if you're a grandparent, you know how wonderful it is when you hear from your children and your grandchildren. Well, that night I was reminded that whenever we call upon God, he has the ability to do multiple things at one time. People are not nearly as good at multitasking as they think they are. God is exceptional at it. He knows the sound of your voice, the tone of your voice. He knows what you have need of before you even ask. But when you call and when I call, God says, oh, it is so good to hear from you. If you have an estranged relationship out there, maybe it's someone that you haven't spoken to in a long time, can I encourage you to do two things? One, spend some time praying in the presence of God, and then say, God, would you make it possible for me to have a conversation with them? Amazing thing about phones is they work both ways. They both receive and they can make calls. And I would encourage you today, if you've got an estranged relationship, let God move upon your heart where you can make a phone call and you can be a bridge builder instead of a bridge burner. God bless you. You have a great weekend. We will be back Monday here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.